percolate on a particular mix of odd and inspiring news headlines in Wendy's Coffee House. Newsmakers with a penchant for the unknown, unexplained, and unusual share their experiences with UFOs, ghost encounters, near-death experiences, and more for your own unique blend of Wendy's Coffee House Curious. And now, here's Wendy.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have fun going into a whole different arena of here, there, and everywhere, and nowhere at all. You may have heard a few stories about Skinwalker Ranch, because I've mentioned that before. I haven't really gone into detail about the Bradshaw Ranch. Now, Skinwalker Ranch is going to have a movie coming out. There's a book out with a lot of information about all the hijinks, all the incredible, unexplained, ongoing, paranormal, and just completely off-the-charts records of UFO contact, looking at different dimensions, cattle mutilations, the whole nine yards. That's in Utah, Skinwalker Ranch. Well, there's another ranch that has a lot of fabulous, fantastic, unbelievable, extraordinary activity, now closed to the public. But it is the Bradshaw Ranch, and this is Sedona, Arizona. Now, the deal with it is that it was actually a movie set for a long time. It was a ranch, active ranch. And now it has a wonderful history and legacy. And so I got one of the tour guides, 20 years, the tour guide. She's an intuitive, and she's based in Sedona, who gave tours of the ranch, also does the Vortex tours, is very familiar with Sedona. And I thought, okay, who better to talk to than somebody who's been there, done that, and seen a whole lot with that. And her name is Jocelyn Buckner. Jocelyn, thank you. I'm glad. This is an incredible story.
Hi, Wendy. I am so happy to be here. Thank you so much for reaching out and getting a hold of me, because this is something that, you know, just like disclosure itself, everybody really needs to know about this area. And unlike the Skinwalker Ranch, which you mentioned, this is full of very benevolent beings and not the nasties that you will find at the Skinwalker. However, a lot of it is what you bring to the experience. If you're going to go and not have the willingness to not be afraid and to experience something that is outside the norm, then you're going to have a better time.
Well, and I think that there's a lot of the New Age element in Sedona, where people are used to crystals and more of a higher elevated consciousness. That's a lot of the presentation of everything in Sedona. And so people go there anticipating, if not expecting, some kind of a unique experience if they're going on the Red Rock tours and going to visit the canyon like the Boynton Canyon or Airport Vortex. What do you suggest in terms of, just let's lay a little groundwork there, because you've done the tours and you've done the environment. So before we get into the Bradshaw Ranch stuff, just a normal visit to Sedona when somebody's coming there for a close encounter or to meditate and maybe get more in touch with their own intuitive side, which is that's basically what it's known for. What do you suggest? How do you start?
Right. Sedona is a very special place. You know, in the Rendlesham case, which was around Christmas time in 1980, John Penniston was downloaded with 30 pages of ones and zeros. And these were ones and zeros, you know, 30 years ago, really didn't mean anything to anybody until recently somebody said, hey, you know, that could be a computer code. So they had Dr. Claude Swanson, who is an astrophysicist, go through, and he translated all of them. And in there, it listed seven places where the ETs were coming and going. And number four on that list was Sedona, Arizona. Now, Sedona is very special because you mentioned crystal. The underneath Sedona, practically the entire area, has between 1 and 4 miles thick of crystal. And underneath that is our water table. Now, this makes a battery. And this was really lit up about 16 million years ago. And a star fell from the sky. It's called Meteor Crater. You can visit it over here off of the I-40. And when it hit, it exploded, and a big chunk of it came over toward Sedona, which is electromagnetic iron, which is why our rocks are red. And that fell from the sky was electromagnetic nickel. So you have the two magnets attract, but when it hit over here, it hit female to female. The energy went down like a China syndrome and came back up and lit up the vortices. And there are anomalies. Some areas are stronger than others, and there's a lot of anomalies. Now, what the same vortex that you're feeling out there in Bradshaw Ranch is the same one that is in the Boynton Canyon area. And, you know, and everybody loves to go to the Boynton Canyon area. It's sort of, think about what goes up must come down. Kind of energy. So, you know, it comes out sort of like a fountain of ringlets. And there's really no place in Sedona that you can go that you don't feel, or your body doesn't feel, you may not be conscious of it, but your body feels it. And, you know, it's sort of like when you go to high altitude, your body has to breathe a little bit harder. Mm-hmm. Your lungs start growing a little bit because the air is thinner. So you don't have to do anything.
Your
body will be the resonator of the vortex. What you have to be is in the moment and conscious. And to use this energy for your own benefit. But that's why people come here and they say, oh, my God, I'm a psychic. Because the vortex causes what we call transcranial electromagnetic stimulation. And what this does is it makes your right brain think more like your left brain, and your left brain think more like your right brain. And the crossover is at your pineal gland, which is the seat of intuition. So everybody can come here and work on their intuition. You practice the baby steps of driving into a parking lot and saying, okay, I'm going to use my intuition and find the best parking spot for me. And then you find it. Then you have to say, yay for me, I did that. And then you go on to the next thing. And when you start looking at the psychic experiences that you're having and you're really conscious of them, seems like the universe says, oh, did you like that? Here, have some more. And then you have more and more of your body electric chakra centers stimulated, working all together in those meridians of the body, which we don't see.
Okay, Jocelyn, hold on, because we're going to have to take a break, and I want to get into more of the information. Basically, you're glossing over a lot of content that each thing you're talking about could be another show. So
I know, yeah, so, I know there's so much to know. Okay.
So that's okay, but that gives an overview, and I want to come back, though, and talk specifically about the difference, and you mentioned it's by Boynton Canyon, it has that same kind of energy with the Bradshaw Ranch experience, because this is where it gets really fascinating, and it's kind of a one-stop shopping for a paranormal, with a mention of ETs, of Bigfoot, of shooting stars, energy that we don't have explanations for. So we're going to come back. Again, my guest, Jocelyn Buckner, a 20-year tour guide with the air, you know, covering vortexes in Sedona, Arizona. Fascinating place. We're going to come back and get more into the Bradshaw Ranch story next, right here on Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio, my guest, talking about the incredible, mysterious, unusual Bradshaw Ranch in Sedona, Arizona. Jocelyn Buckner. And we did mention earlier Claude Swanson. I've got his three books: The Synchronized Universe, The Science, New Science of the Paranormal, Life Force, The Scientific Basis, and The New Science of Torsion. And you can check out his stuff at synchronizeduniverse.com. Worth looking into all sorts of content. And he's a physicist, so he gets in some of the nitty-gritty in the math, which, okay, it's there. I like the stories. And with this, the Bradshaw Ranch is very well known. You've probably seen several YouTube videos about it. The book, Tom Dongo wrote a book along with John Bradshaw's wife, Linda. And it started with her seeing orbs in the sky over the ranch and then the bright flashes. And this stuff isn't just in one area of the world. It's all over. And like a couple nights ago, I went out and there was a bright white flash as I look up in the sky. These things, I think, are fascinating. I don't know why or how things tend to, in some areas, really ramp up and then dissipate. It could be the energy, the way the planet moves, the stars. I don't know. But it happens. And to be there and experience these things, it rocks your world and it changes your mindset in terms of what we think can be real and unreal in our own experience. So with having 20 years of experience doing the Vortex tours, Jocelyn's got another a unique perspective being in that area. And I'm glad you're talking about it. And you also mentioned before we got on the air an ebook coming up with background and details. So can you give us a clue what's going to be in the ebook and what have you experienced in association with the Bradshaw Ranch?
Okay, yeah, it's going to be called The Guide to the Bradshaw Ranch by me, Jocelyn Buckner. And it's going to be everything that you need to know to have a paranormal experience at a UFO hotspot. There's a lot that could go into it. It's not your imagination. There really is something very special going on at the Bradshaw Ranch. And I have been out there many times with some real weird experience. And you're right about Linda Bradshaw seeing these orbs, or she would just she was very intuitive herself, and she would get a lot of just really creepy, weird feelings, like, you know, somebody touching her or following her. And she called up Tom Dongo, and she said, you know, I know you're into this stuff. Why don't you come on out here, and we'll check it out. And so they would take photos at night, and long before digital cameras and all of that. And they'd have to do slides because, mm-hmm. you know, you can't mess with a slide. And they would take it to Walgreens and have to wait an hour before, you know, the following day after they took these photos before they realized what they were seeing.
Yeah.
And one of the things that they got were all of these orbs. And, you know, this is in the late 70s. And now there are orbs that people are taking all over the world. Mm-hmm. But the first photographic evidence of orbs was at the Bradshaw Ranch, taken by Linda Bradshaw. And there's also on the property there, or I don't know if it's still there, but there used to be there, was a non-working windmill. It's not set up to anything. Mm-hmm. But it seems that it started getting popular to use the windmill as if you would use a pendulum to ask, you know, yes, no questions. And the windmill on a no question would, you know, wiggle back and forth. And a yes question it would make the windmill spin. And it has some unusual things. And there was one time I was out there, it was with Kim Carlsberg, who is a well-known abductee, and she has the book out, Colors of Close Encounters or something like that. Mm-hmm. You are the Close Encounters. And so we were out there with another young woman, and we were standing by the windmill, and it all of a sudden started to spin. And Kim looked at it, and she said, "Are you communicating with us?" And it started spinning the opposite direction. And so the girl that was with us, her name was Melissa, said, "Will you make yourself visible so we can see you?" And it was at that same moment that she said that I looked up, and there was a big silver disc right over us. And by the time that I got my camera out of my backpack and, was pulling it out to take a photo, it had already disappeared. It went off into the northeast faster than a blink of light. But that was, so I saw a craft out there. I've also had missing time. Another time when I was with Kim Carlsberg, and we had taken two doctors out there, and they really wanted to experience this. And so we were, you really can't go on to the property without breaking the law. And these doctors did not want to break the law at all. So we were walking the perimeter, and this is what you can do even today. There's a 10-foot steel fence up today, but you can walk the perimeter, and you can invite those unseen others to come to you. And Kim said that all of a sudden I disappeared, and I never lost sight of Kim, but she could not hear or see me for nearly an hour and a half, and she was walking back to the car to call the sheriff because she was so worried about, what had happened to me. Mm-hmm. And I was, I was fine, but I could feel that I was sort of without time, I guess. I don't know how else to put it. Mm-hmm. And I kept on trying to contact her. I ran up to her and tapped her on the shoulder. She just could not see or hear me at all, and it lasted for about an hour and a half. And then finally, I retraced my steps, and I, walked right through wherever I'd walked through before, and all of a sudden, she shot me. She was like, "Don't you ever do that again." I was like, I didn't do anything. But I believe that this is one of the ways that the entities are coming and going and going through this different dimensional state that's out there.
Like that, and that sounds like, a portal of some kind, and where you're in a different dimension and yet parallel right beside everybody else. Okay, that's fascinating, and I like that. So let's continue. I want to bring into the equation a little snippet from the book with John Bradshaw's wife, Linda, that talks about what the son saw, because I think that's also another piece of the equation that says this is just a one-off. These are things that really make you curious. Well, at least I'm curious. And maybe you are,
right,
too.
Right.
Okay. So, again, my guest, Jocelyn Buckner, that ebook coming out soon. If you have a chance to check it out, you'll get more content and more fascinating stories. And the primer on the Bradshaw Ranch and what's going on there. These are amazing things we're experiencing and hearing and talking about. So, come along for the ride. Don't go anywhere just yet. You're listening to Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio, where everything is worth exploring. It's curious. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio, the alien experience. I don't know if it's all alien. I mean, a lot of this, what I find fascinating is having my own experiences, that there's a paranormal element that is seamless, that goes along with these types of events. And that has just recently, like in the last 10, 5, 3 years, become well known. Before, I remember, what was it, maybe 6 years ago, I was talking to somebody, Paula Harris, interview, talking about how that there, you felt a dimension shift. It was like the air, in my experience, the air, the barometric pressure shifted. It felt like all of a sudden I was in a high-altitude environment, and there was a different smell, and that sensation also included hearing things that were not there, and this was an ET thing. I'm like, good grief, nobody gets into all the details. She said, did you write this down? I said, well, no, I hadn't thought it was that unusual until I began reading more about contact experience and realizing that it was at the very beginning to put these elements together. So that's what's so fascinating. Places like the Sherman Ranch and the Skinwalker, I think that's there's another name for that too, and then the Bradshaw Ranch, have all of these things going on at the same time. And it brings us to a different, I think, vantage point when we're looking at this phenomena and saying, okay, we really don't have a clue. No matter what we call it, it isn't just a ghost. It isn't just an ET. It isn't just a cryptid, whatever it is, a monster. It's something that we really have to start asking better questions and becoming more curious and less willing to jump to conclusions because we think we have an answer. We have to start from that little, the tarot deck, the fool, and say, I don't know, and I'm learning. This is what she wrote in the book. Linda talked about strolling past a window where there were four short-statured aliens wearing tight-fitting one-piece uniforms of a light tan color. They, grays, people would call them grays, but they looked more ashen, almost white. And when they were out of sight, they said that the people who saw these ran to the house where Linda was speaking. And she said, my son vigorously shook my arm to wake me up. I can still hear the trepidation in his voice. He says, Mom, wake up. They're here. I said, who's here? He said, the aliens, Mom. Okay. So when you're... When you're in a place and you think everything's just all peachy keen and nothing could, you know, surprise you even more, and your son wakes you up and says, they're here, aliens, the world changes. And as you were walking through that space with Kim and all of a sudden couldn't connect with her, your world must have changed just a bit, too. I'm talking with Jocelyn Buckner.
Oh, yeah, sure. This is Linda talking about her son, Victor. And after Victor had his encounters with the ETs, and there were multiple of them. He also had encounters with Bigfoot. There's a Bigfoot that is living out there regularly. It's been seen often. Kim Carlsberg, like I said, saw her. Mm-hmm. Her name is Big Girl. And he also saw a dinosaur out there, and he chased the dinosaur into the back country, into the secret mountain wilderness. Now, a lot of people will ask me, okay, what, you know, where is this place? I mean, it can't possibly, you know, be a twilight zone in the middle of the Arizona desert. And it's a been well known even from the Native Americans out there. Now, one of the reasons that it was shut down is that the government claimed it to be a Native American heritage site because of the rock art, the petroglyphs that are along the canyon wall behind the ranch. And so imagine that there is a set of canyons, and they kind of fan out like a spokes of a wagon wheel, and there are seven major canyons. These are the seven major canyons of Sedona, which Paige Bryant said was ancient Lemuria. And this rock art, if you look at it, to me, it depicts a UFO landing and grays or tall whites getting out and going and meeting with the Native Americans there. And there's also pictures of them hunting and gathering and that type of thing. So this is, you know, a big panel of some really interesting stuff. And I've taken photos of it and put it up on the internet, and it just disappears. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you can find anything. There will be some in my ebook coming out, which is the Brad Shaw Ranch Guide. But Bradshaw Ranch is approximately 6 miles by air outside of Sedona. It's a lot of backcountry dirt roads, and so, you know, you really need a high-clearance vehicle if you want to go out there. I recommend a four-wheel drive, especially now during monsoon season, mm-hmm. and that water just cuts right through the dirt road going out there. And then you get you kind of just follow the signs for the Hanaki or the Palaki ruins, and it'll take you right by Bradshaw Ranch Road. And, you know, so it's not difficult to find. It's off of Road 795, Bradshaw Ranch Road. Mm-hmm. Probably can Google it.
Absolutely. I will tell you right now.
There isn't much to see anymore because the government has taken it over. They originally purchased the ranch in January of 2001. And they paid about $4 million for it.
Mm-hmm.
And, which, you know, there's something now in our state government that, you know, the conspiracy theorist might raise their eyebrows a little bit, because the senator that spearheaded taking these lands away, and we all know that it was due to paranormal activity, was Senator John Kyle. Well, guess who is senator again after Senator McCain passed away?
Oh. So the connection.
And it is the same John Kyle. And he is on a mission to, air quote, here, protect archaeological resources in northern Arizona, unquote. And he is also a head of the Arizona Corporations Commission, and that's the commission that sets utility prices, how much are you going to pay for gas, water, and electricity.
Mm-hmm.
But you can go out there. And from one of the camp sites out there, you can walk across the bluff, and with good binoculars, you can see down into the ranch.
Okay, hold on. We have to take a break.
Okay.
We'll get more details about the ranch here coming up. Again, Jocelyn Buckner is my guest, talking about the Bradshaw Ranch and the paranormal activities that go on out there in Sedona, Arizona. KCMO Talk Radio. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Bradshaw Ranch. In 1945, that was when Bob Bradshaw moved to Sedona, Arizona, had a photography shop, and with his Hollywood connections, he also had a real good line of contact with all the big-name stars at the time who came out and did movies on the ranch. Elvis Presley, one of the big names out there. Anyway, and then this paranormal thing is what's so fascinating. His wife started seeing the orbs and started seeing the sun, you know, the E.T. aliens, and then the sighting of Bigfoot, all that, which I've said before, this stuff is amazing, all the different elements that come into play. And we don't have answers for this. But for people who want to go visit the Bradshaw Ranch, it is now off limits. You can go look from afar. And online, as we were talking earlier, Jocelyn said, there, you know, you could find directions. Yes, you can. One of the things that they mentioned, though, is that drones are illegal. You might see them out there. You're not supposed to be flying them out there. So just, you know, put your drone aside. Pack it. Emergency numbers, they've got those. They also have the towing. Well, she mentioned that it might be a little bit, the terrain, a little dicey on that. So the towing service phone numbers are here. And cell reception at the site, yes, you can call for help. And don't forget to take lots of water. This is desert, okay? So they give you a lot of details on how to get there. But the other thing is that people who've gone out there have mentioned that these guys in uniform with weaponry pointing them at hikers and saying, you may want to reconsider your directions. So, okay, so just be informed that there are limits to what you can access going out there. But it's by Boynton Canyon, and Boynton Canyon is definitely worth the trip. So the other thing, too, I wanted to bring into the picture here is Artie Six Killer Clark. I've talked with her before, and she talks about a lot of these different – one of the things she talks about with these different experiences is a portal. And one of the guys, I think his name was Tom, who talked about going into a portal and then coming out in a different area and that knowing that where certain places where they are. And they don't share those stories. But Jocelyn, you have to have been, you know, schooled on some of this being in Sedona.
Oh, absolutely. And you're right. We've always wondered if there really is a military connection. We no longer talk about the underground base that we know that's out there because, you know, people get in trouble.
So, no longer talk about it, just to mention, yeah.
We try to avoid that. But I remember going out there one time with Tom Dongo, and he was telling me about this young man. I don't remember his name or if he even mentioned it, but this young man was hired by the Forest Service, and his job was to sit at this one trail that was in the Secret Canyon Wilderness. And he was told, don't let anybody come down this path. Mm-hmm. And, you know, under threat of arrest, just don't do it. So he said, okay. So they never told him why, nobody could go down there. But he was, you know, he was getting paid good money back then, $30 an hour. And, you know, mm-hmm. he wasn't going to complain. So one day the Forest Service says, we're done with our task down there. You can go ahead and go home. And he said, oh, okay. And he starts to pack up and his boss leaves. And he thought, I wonder why they couldn't go down there. So he decides to take a walk, and he gets around this one corner, and there standing was a 9-foot-tall, big-nosed gray alien. Ooh. And this guy just stopped in his tracks. He didn't know what to do, and I don't think the alien knew what to do. They just turned, and they both ran away in the opposite direction. He didn't stop running until he got back to the Forest Service, and he said, two questions. First, what was that thing? And second, I quit. And his superior told him, you know what, you're never going to mention that story again. And so, of course, he was... The first thing he did was call Tom Dongo and tell Tom the story. Mm-hmm. And then Tom, later I said, well, you know, did you ever talk to him again? He goes, no, he disappeared. It was like nobody's seen him ever.
Wow.
After that.
After he talked. Okay.
So Tom thought that he went to the local pub and was telling everybody that he knew. But he doesn't know if he might have just moved away, but the big story is, he just disappeared. And I know just recently There were three women that I talked to that were hiking in the Sycamore Canyon area, and they came across a box, and it was it had this fence all the way around it with, you know, razor wire on the top. Mm-hmm. And these boxes were under some sort of tarp. She said that it wasn't normal tarp. It almost had a kind of a sheen to it. Mm-hmm. You know, they just assumed that it was military. It's not unusual to see military people out here training. Mm-hmm. There's a big installation of National Guard up here in Flagstaff.
Okay.
And part of that is to protect the University of Arizona up there that has a big collection of viruses and anthrax from leaving the campus. And that campus gets shut down. Well, by the way, that's the campus that just took over this big ranch out here. They're going to make a 90-acre GMO garden out there. And, you know, so that's, they've got all kinds of...
experiments.
Cameras, they've got everything. I know somebody that tried to get on the property a few months ago. He was arrested. He was fined $5,000, and he did spend a week in jail.
Wow.
This is a very serious. Yes, they are very serious. But, you know, I can hardly wait till one of those students out there, they're going to tear down the ranch house. They're going to tear, you know, they're going to tear most of the back buildings down.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that they're going to keep is the original Dobie house that was built in the 1880s. As a homestead, and
that's history.
And everything else is going to go. And, you know, someday one of those students are going to be woken up by the ETs, because I don't think that's going to stop them.
No.
I do think that the government took over because they want control. They want control of, you know, whoever's coming and going. And I have mixed feelings about this, because maybe, I mean, our government isn't our enemy as much as everybody is thinking that it is.
No. But, okay, we have to go. So we're going to have to leave right now. This is fascinating. Jocelyn, I'm really looking forward to seeing what you've got, what you put together in your book, the ebook. People can get a hold of you. Your website, you've got a website, too, the WordPress site. Do you want to mention that as we head out?
Yes, it's jocelynbuckner.com, and it was wonderful to talk to you. You can see more about me and about the book. I'm also writing a tour book about Sedona proper, not just Bradshaw Ranch.
Excellent. Okay, well, and I will put links on my website, Wendy's Coffee House, so we can all follow along, because this story is ongoing. It hasn't stopped. It might be a bit more difficult to access, but there are people who know, and there are people who are talking. They haven't all disappeared. Right, Jocelyn?
That's right. And you know what? There are other areas out there. There's the Woo Ranch. There's the Cleves Ranch. And, you know, if you're out and about,
go there.
In that area, just keep your eyes open.